a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast,
your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
And welcome to another edition of the Massive Report. We are brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Morgan couldn't have thought to cough a couple minutes before the show started. And, we're live at Hendox. Welcome to the show. Greg Benson has the night off. I'm joined by Justin Bell, Alex Stanek, Morgan Hughes, and, of course, Sam Fahmy hitting the buttons. My name is Matt Goshard. And this is the post-Toronto edition. The Columbus crew managed to snatch mediocrity from the jaws of victory. And let's talk about that right off the bat. Justin, I want to go to you first and get your analysis on this. The crew up 3-0. Great goals, Kai Kamara, Tony Chani, and Ethan Finley. And then kind of, like what I said, mediocrity for the rest of the game. Is a goal by Toronto in the 50th, one more in the 55th, and then at the end of the day, a penalty kick in the 89th minute. A lot of people talking about the penalty kick, that it shouldn't have been awarded, but if you're down, if you're up 3-0 and then you end up being down 2-3, or you end up being up 2-3 at the end of the match, can you really blame it all that much? Justin, do you?
Blame, you mean the penalty kick?
Yeah, blame the call.
Oh, blame the call.
Blame the call is the reason that we didn't win the match.
No. And I honestly didn't think the call was terrible. I thought it was... Look, I think in the context of the game, were there some other chances where there should have been, for instance, a penalty given to us? Yes. I mean, I think if you look at... If you're calling the game evenly, then that call is let go. But yeah, it wasn't a terrible call. I mean, Waylon Francis did knock Josie a little bit, he fell down, but still, at that point, you should not. I don't think you should be in a point to.
Yeah, should we have been in that position? No. Is my question.
I mean, the team. Look, let's look at positives first. I thought the team played really, really well that first half. I mean, I don't want to break this down into a tale of two halves, but I think that's an easy way to do it. I think we got lucky where we needed to score goals. Ethan Finley's assist is a perfect example. He's just playing so well that when he makes a mistake, when he has a mistouch, the ball is left off perfectly, like I've been saying for months now that we should do, is leave the ball off more. And and Tony Chani swoops in and hits an amazing shot, and we get a terrific goal. Tony Chani, that played a terrific game. He was just... It's the kind of game from him that I've been hoping to see, and as that game was going on, I'm thinking to myself, wow, we might get to see the Columbus crew actually play a complete match of soccer. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're capable of seeing when the team plays a complete match. And then it went wrong. Our defense, basically the defense that we thought showed up. And look, I think this is, again, last week I think we talked about predictability and our formations and our strategy. Mm-hmm. Toronto FC was missing their best, probably arguably their second best player, in Michael Bradley. Yet they still continued with that high press throughout the game, and they really put us under pressure, and we couldn't handle that. And there didn't seem to be any adjustments made on our end. I think this is a 3-3 result against this team is probably what we are. Mm-hmm. And that's disappointing. I think we should be better than this. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that I can't really fault anybody.
Yeah.
And that might be unpopular. I know people were upset that Greg Berhalter wasn't more upset. But I I think Greg Berhalter's a very even keel guy. He's gonna see what's wrong, and he's not gonna freak out about it. I kind of feel the same way. I'm not gonna freak out about it.
Was Greg just being a realist?
I just think that's the way he is. I think he's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And right. He's going to try to solve problems.
He's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to... He knows that he's not going to solve defensive problems in a post-match press conference.
Of course not.
And he's not going to do that being thrown questions in the newspaper or on a television show. He's going to solve them in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And or by getting a better player, something like that. So that's what he's focused on. I hope, and I think so.
Alex, your thoughts on the match?
I think a point out of the match is about what you could have expected going into it. I mean, TFC are not as bad as we wish they were. They have a lot of good players. Sebastian Giovinco being their best player, in my opinion. He was really great as the match went on. He started to figure out the crew as the match went on, and we had fewer and fewer answers to him as the match went on. If it had been a 1-1 final score, I think it would have felt not as bad as the way it happened. I think the fact that we were up the way we were and then we lost, it hurts a lot more than if, you know, we would have scored one and then they would have scored one in, you know, the 80th minute or whatever. Offensively, I thought we looked really good, but it's tough to defend against a team that is spending over three times your total salary. So, I mean, they have three players on their team who each individually earn close to what our entire roster combined earns. They have two guys who earn more than our entire roster combined earn. So money talks to a certain level. They're a really good team, and the fact that we are still able to compete with them despite spending a lot less than them is not a bad sign.
Morgan.
First of all, hi, Matt. Thanks for having me. Really excited to talk some Columbus Horizon basketball. Second of all, first time in Cruisers FC history that the Cruisers were up 3-0 and didn't win. First time that literally ever happened. So, all right. Got stuff going for us. You know, I'm terrified as a fan that we're looking at an all-time offensive Crew team right now. You know, we're looking at Kai Kamara beasting it. We're looking at Ethan Finley beasting it. Freddie Ballkicker got an assist on Saturday, so he's up to 5 goals and 5 assists. I believe Steve Cirk calls that the double nickel. This is the first time that I think we've had three people do that in the same season, being Finley, Kamara, and Freddie Ballkicker now, and Miriam's threatening to get it. So I am terrified that we are having possibly the best, you know, like Stern John craziness taken out of the equation, but the best single season offensive team play here in Columbus, and our defense is going to continually shit the bed and not allow us to enjoy what is rightfully ours, which is the Melis Cup trophy presented by Heineken.
The Melis Cup?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
I think that might be a little bit of Berhalter's system, though. I mean, I think he puts a lot more emphasis on attack and relies on very solid defenders to kind of make up for a system that has less defensive rigidity. So that might just be the way we see Berhalter Crew teams play. I think this was kind of a similar problem that we had last season, except we didn't have Kamara, who was scoring tons of goals, to make up for the fact that we were conceding goals.
Also, the you said the word mediocrity twice to start the show.
Mediocrity.
Which is not a word.
Yes.
Second of all, Berhalter system does dictate that you play out of the back, whatever. You have possession, short passes, but when you're up 3-0 in the 50th minute and you're being pressured like Waylon Francis was, that led to that first Giovinco goal, first Toronto goal, clear the ball for God's sake, Waylon Francis, clear the ball. Back to you, Matt.
The one thing that I wanted to point out, we are still in second place at this point. we have New York, Toronto, and Montreal of the teams that are in playoff contention right now with games in hand against us. New England does not. New England actually has played an extra game. Sam is raising his hand. Either A, he wants to say he wants to say hi to somebody on the other end of the bar, or he has a concern about that. Go ahead, Sam.
No, all I was going to say is, aside from being second in the West and the East, I looked before the game and we were only 5 points out of Supporters Shield.
Yeah.
So now we're 7 points out of Supporters Shield.
Yeah, we're 7 points out of the Supporters Shield.
DC and Dallas won. I'm not saying we're going to win the Supporters Shield.
Yeah, 7 points plus the entire West.
I'm kind of agreeing with Justin here is that it's one thing for it to be a 1-1 tie or a 2-2 tie, even a 3-3 tie where you go, you know, back to, you know, you exchange. It's another thing to be up 3-0 with 40 minutes left.
It's literally never happened.
Totally just let him score.
Yeah, it's poor.
Once they got 2-2, the momentum was there. And you don't want to put the referee in a position to basically determine the result of the game.
I don't think I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was. I had no problem with the penalty at all. I saw it. I mean, but you could tell. I mean, if it's 3-0 and they get it to 3-2, the players are going to be a little bit shell shocked and they're going to kind of be a little panicky. And I think that's what happened. Waylon, you know, just started backing up and he backed up right into Josie. And
no,
yeah.
He had stopped playing on that play and had to sprint his ass off to get back into the play, which led him to completely run over Josie out there. Not completely. Okay. Josie absolutely took a tumble and, you know, should be nominated for Academy Award for that. But, you know, again, Waylon just, those were two really bad mistakes that he made in that game. He totally stopped playing on the third goal, on the PK call, and, you know, he made a bad decision on the first. Now, you know, that's bad, Alex, and you're wrong about a lot of stuff. So,
no, I said
so bad.
I think we agree.
You look at where the standings are right now without this game. With this game scrubbed, if the Crew would have won this game, 33 points, 38 points is where DC's at right now.
We had the Chicago game too that we gave up at the last second. Those 4 points,
mm-hmm.
We'd be first place in MLS history.
Orlando.
So
yeah.
That's
Orlando is another thing. Yeah, I mean, Orlando happened.
I think if you break it down, I think we're earning about 1.4 points per game.
That's about right, yeah.
That's middle of the pack.
Yep.
That's where we're at. We're second place in standings, but so many, like you said, there's so many teams that have
there's variables.
Games
there's
in hand.
Yeah, it's so many games in hand right now.
Sam's right. We are now kind of sort of within reach of a Supporters Shield. Which is amazing, but
insane.
Also not unheard of. It's the most MLS-y thing you could possibly have.
Sweet parody.
It looked like Seattle was going to run away with it. It looked like Seattle was going to run away
right.
with it, and then they've lost, gone winless,
right.
lost 6 games in a row.
Right.
Is it six now?
It's
yeah.
six now.
Oh, that's great.
It's
oh.
interesting because
my heart just became stronger, Matt.
If you look at it, the teams that are out of contention, there are a few of them, and not out of contention, excuse me, but out of the playoffs right now. You have Chicago with 20 games, Orlando and New York City both with 21 games. We have 22 games. They can't catch us right now just on game parity alone. But then you look at a team like Montreal, who a couple of weeks ago we were talking about bottom of the pack. You look at a team like Toronto and New York; they're all right there. And New York and Toronto are both just—they're one win away from us, and they have 3 games in hand.
Sure, but I also think you have to keep an eye on Montreal. They just signed Didier Drogba today, and he is going to score goals for them because Piatti is going to put the ball right on a plate for him, and he is going to bury it. Duke is going to put it on a plate for him, and he's going to bury it. He is a world-class player, and even at 37, he is going to get results.
I'm not familiar with how Drogba works at this point. What, like, is it a Weekend at Bernie's thing where you have to play a song and it animates his corpse? Or what is it?
He was in the Champions League last
season.
Can
we talk about, for just a half a second, that Chicago got to file a discovery claim on him?
Discovery claims are the greatest.
It's amazing.
Well, and it's actually more complex than
and
that.
And then Montreal had to pay them Garber bucks to get the discovery
claim.
No,
that's not even what happened. They didn't. If it was a discovery claim, they would have only got $100,000 under the new rules. So what ended up happening, they were not willing to do that. Or MLS was not willing to let that happen or whatever. But they ended up doing a sign-in trade. He signed for Chicago Fire. And then was immediately traded to the Impact for north of $250,000. And then they picked up Gilberto off of the waivers, former TFC DP, and signed him. And so they're going to get Gilberto. And even though – so Drogba was a Chicago Fire player for like 5 minutes, basically.
Do you guys know this is why I drink? I'm just letting you know. He got over there just
– Can I do a breaking news thing?
Don't
let your dreams be dreams.
Hang on. We're going to wait for just a half a second so Sam can fire up the breaking news machine. So, I want to let everybody know while we're waiting for Sam to fire up the breaking news thing that we are sponsored by Landgrab Brewing Company, and this is the Massive Report, and we're at Hendox. Blah 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 blah. Sam, are you ready?
I don't have earphones, so I can't.
Yeah, no, I'll cue you. I promise.
Matt, I love Landgrab Brewing Company.
Yep, your mic just got cut off.
I know it did.
Breaking news.
Okay, so breaking news. This is just in from our editor, our chief, Patrick.
Patrick.
He just tweeted to me a link. Self-fulfilling prophecy is what he said, and he linked to a tweet from someone named Justin Bird. I don't know who this is. At 2:19 p.m., it says MLS is turning into a Legends League. Cambiaso linked with Columbus Crew SC.
Bam!
But now, a little bit of background. This is something that I've wanted since last winter, or maybe even 2 years ago.
Or last week. One of the two.
I don't know how I keep doing this.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Somehow, I keep doing this, and I am now officially the, yeah.
I told you that. Yeah. I texted
how
you.
How are your shoulders as you're carrying so much water?
I don't know. This is crazy.
Did I not text you on Friday and I said, I believe you have the power and you alone to bring international talent to the Columbus Cruisers FC?
I think this is going to happen.
That is my God.
It was the days before Mix 1-4.
Yeah.
And then that almost happened. And now I think this is our moment.
Yeah.
I believe that I am the Shia LaBeouf of Columbus, Ohio.
Make your dreams come true.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
There's a joke in there about holes, and I'm not going to make it.
Do it.
Unfortunately.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Do it.
Unfortunately, when you click on the link that this guy linked to, it just says breaking Didier Drogba signs for MLS side Montreal Impact. It says nothing about Cambiaso.
Irrelevant.
It's okay.
Irrelevant.
He's saying there's linked. Yeah. Linked?
That's a link.
It's a link.
You can't make links up.
He's a 22-year-old Leicester City fan. I think he searched Cambiaso, saw Columbus Crew.
That's okay.
In the hashtag.
That's okay.
Who let this guy on?
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Don't do it pre-court.
Alex, let me tell you about.
He's a former Inter player.
Alex, you're fired.
Do you even know what a link is?
You're fired.
Don't want him.
Do you know what a link is? It's like one object and there's another object. They just don't exist.
I'm burning.
Let me sell you. Let me explain something to you.
Alex, go stand in the bathroom and lick the trough. Anyway, Justin, continue.
If Kuchu to Crook becomes true,
yeah.
If Kuchu to Crook becomes true,
yes.
There's a Calypso song here. The crew will win the Supporters' Shield. This is not even an exaggeration. If he plays in the midfield for the Columbus Crew, we win the Supporters' Shield.
You're benching Chani.
Either one. Chani or Trapp. Either one. You figure out, those two guys figure out which one's better from the... You need this player.
We will play with 10
people. You need
people.
A player who has experience, who has the ability.
Or 12.
12. It doesn't matter.
You move to a 3-5-2
rules in MLS are malleable. We know this.
You're already giving up 3-5-2 goals. Might as well.
Yeah. 3-5-2 formation. You move Trapp back. Let him play a sweeper position and move Cambiaso up. Let him create with Higuain. You have a Supporters' Shield team right there. It's that simple.
Background on this. After I texted Justin on Friday saying, I believe that you have the power to bring international superstar talent to MLS, specifically to Columbus Cruisers SC,
and
that is what made the kicking it or beasting it with Tony Aces episode 1 happen. So I think that we should have discovery rights on
this. Is gross.
Yeah.
This is so gross. Beasting it with Tony Aces. Yeah. All right. Look, we're going
to... Gross.
Justin, go ahead. No, finish your thought.
I'm a little excited right now.
Here we go.
Yeah. No, finish your thought.
Calm down.
All right.
I'm going to bring it down.
Calm your tits, Justin.
Yeah.
All right. Calm your tits. We're going to take a break here. I do want to say Weston Applefeller is going to be with us in next segment. Head crew grounds guy. I can't read tonight, apparently. I'm Gru. Gru the Wanderer was like one of my favorite comics growing up. It was pretty awesome. Anyway, we're going to be back in a few minutes. We'll do that. Also, Morgan's going to say silly things about Landgrab Brewing Company coming up as well. So stick around. This is the Massive Report.
On the road again. just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
This edition of the Master Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Land Grant Brewing Company. Greetings and salutations to all the listeners out there from Orlando, Florida. Are you tired of traveling hours away from your home in the sweltering swamp wasteland of southern Florida, doing crystal meth behind hundreds, if not thousands, of dumpsters, just in the hopes of finding a medium-sized glass container filled with a brim of delicious, intoxicating alcohol? Well, if you're an Orlando City supporter, you can clearly go to hell, because you're absolutely terrible human beings who deserve all the awful things that continue to happen to you. Crew SC fans, however, rejoice. Lamb Grand Brewing Company is located right around the corner in Franklinton. Why, Matt, that's way closer than the basement of the Eastern Conference, which is literally where Orlando is located. Hooray! So grab all your firm iron lions and throw back a couple cold ones while you renew your My Shopify domains at Lamb Grand Brewing Company. And tell them your friends over at the Massive Report Podcast sent ya.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy.
And we are back. It is segment two of the Massive Report. We are brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company, and we're broadcasting live from Hendox. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for sticking with us. On segment two today, Weston Appelfeller, who is the head of groundskeeping, and just an all-around awesome dude. I try to give a rousing endorsement before you come on the show.
So it doesn't have to be true.
No, that's when I say nice things about you, Morgan. It's when they're not true.
Matt, stop it. Walking into traffic already.
You walk into traffic. Right. Anyway, welcome back to the show, and thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. I know we've been trying to get me on here for a little while, and it's nice to finally get here. So, thanks.
A couple of things, real quick, that I want to talk about. First of all, the Crew Stadium pitch, the Mafre Stadium pitch, excuse me, because I don't want to get yelled at by Andy Lochnan again. A couple of things on that. First of all, it's won a bunch of awards. Can you kind of go through the list of how many stinking awards do you guys need, A, and how many have you won?
You know, we'll take as many as we can get.
So, yeah, fair enough.
I think that's pretty apparent. But, well, 2000, I believe it was 10, under the previous groundskeeper, Brett Tanner, they got Field of the Year through the Sports Turf Managers Association. And then in 2013, we won it again.
Nice.
So that's pretty awesome. We're one of two stadiums in the country that have won it twice, us and Dick's Sporting Goods in Colorado. So, yeah, very awesome.
And a follow-up question, why? Why is our stadium, and I mean, the obvious answer you could give is because you're so great, and but without pandering to the higher-ups, why in the hell is our stadium turf so freaking great?
To be honest, it's a lot of hard work from a lot of different guys. We have a crew of probably 7 or 8 people. Put in tons of hours working out there on one field and then the training center as well. But ownership support has been great throughout the history of our stadium as far as grounds goes. And we've just been really lucky. You know, weather's a lot of what we do. You know, field's built a good, or it's got a good base and it's built the right way. Other than that, good team support, that's it.
when you go into, okay, so for example, there was a video posted a little while ago about transition from Rock on the Range. So Rock on the Range, obviously, you've got the grass is covered. You've got a lot of pressure on the field, things along those lines. How do you, like, what all goes into that? What happens with your guys? Because that I think that's interesting, and I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing about that.
Rock on the Range is like a 2-month period. You got the month before Rock on the Range and trying to get the grass ready and to go for Rock on the Range, and then a month after trying to get it to recover.
What goes into getting it ready?
Lots of fertilizer, lots of lots of fungicides to make sure it's protected from disease. You know, really, when we get there, we want it to be as strong as it possibly can be, but not growing at the same time. Because when it's underneath the flooring, we don't want it to be growing like crazy.
Yeah. You want it to pop out.
Exactly. So yeah. It's not it's a lot of weird chemicals, calcium, iron, magnesium, manganese, like all the weird stuff that you would never think you have to actually pay attention to.
So you're saying that the grass needs you grounding up Centrum pills and just...
Yeah, exactly.
Because all of that stuff is in one Centrum pill.
Yeah.
So what's
a
nightmare scenario? Like during Rock in the Range specifically, like the 3 days that there are actually people listening to terrible music, what is the nightmare scenario? That was just, you should have laughed, but later when you're home.
Yeah.
What's the nightmare scenario? Is it like just a bunch of people vomiting at the same time, or is it urine? Like, what is it?
Both of those. I think the vomit's the one that really gets us.
Yeah.
So it's the extremely hot weather when there's a lot of beer consumed may be good for the bottom line at the concert.
Yeah, fair enough.
But at the same time, that means we're going to have a lot more work to do the next week with replacing some very sticky situations.
Where they go together, where the sections, like, meet, can vomit get through that?
It's got holes all the way through it.
Oh,
we let the grass breathe.
Dude.
So, yeah, vomit can get through anywhere.
That's insane.
The one thing that I find interesting is you look at Mafre Stadium versus somewhere like Toyota Park or some of these other stadiums. And Toyota Park and Mafre Stadium are very much in the same climate zone, from what I know as a layman, is not somebody who does this for a living. But you look at Toyota Park in the middle of July going into August, and there are just whole sections that are just worn out. In even I think last year in the Open Cup game there were bare patches all over the place. We've not seen something like that at Mafre Stadium. What is without I don't mean to throw your associate who works for Chicago under the bus, but what do you guys what goes into that?
Yeah, Chicago's a weird situation. You know, they had a great groundskeeper for many years, and he left about 2-3 years ago. And kind of left them without a groundskeeper for a little while. And they actually just hired a guy this year, and their field's starting to look a little better as you pay attention this year. So hopefully it'll turn itself around. But ours has just been ownership support. You know, if we didn't have Anthony backing us up the entire way through, whether giving us guys or money to take care of it, we wouldn't be able to do it. So, we really appreciate the effort that the coaching staff gives with us with the keeping the guys in the training center and off the stadium field. The events we have, we usually have time around it to fix the damage. And so it's a sport all the way through the organization. So.
There have to be like trade secrets or like secrets that keep like the pitch the quality that it is. Can you tell us those?
And if not, screw like, you.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm basically daring you.
We have lungs that we need to take care of.
Yeah, I think we're very open. You know, we're willing to give our information to anyone. You want to ask any specifics, feel free to.
Anyone.
Okay,
do whatever you got. So,
what kind of grass is it?
It's Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass.
So it's two grasses?
It is two. It was originally in 2006, Kentucky bluegrass. And we overseed with perennial ryegrass because it grows faster, comes up faster. And so when we have divots, we can put down seed, and it'll be up in 7 days as opposed to...
That's awesome.
Longer than that, so.
Is that, like, Kentucky bluegrass, I hear that all the time when I hear about Major League Baseball, NFL, MLS stadiums. Is that kind of the hardy grass that grows in this area?
Yeah, in the northern part of the country, it's the best grass that you can cut short. It can withstand the heat. Withstand the cold winters,
And so it's really good. Bermuda grass, when you get to the south, is the best grass you can possibly have for sports because it holds
together
really
good. You can't destroy
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we wish we could grow that up here, but unfortunately we just don't have the amount of heat. So, which, fortunately enough, we don't do. So.
We hear a lot of things from places like Seattle, Vancouver, other more northern climes or different, situations, bad places, horrible places. Yeah. But Toronto was that way for a long time, where they just legitimately said there's no way to grow grass. Could you, as a expert in the field, if Major League Soccer decided that they were going to award a franchise to Yellowknife Northern Territories or something along those lines, could you grow grass there, and would it work for the entire Major League Soccer season?
You're going to have a lot of money. You're going to have a heating system, which is $1 million.
Okay.
Sub-air system, which is $1 million, which basically allows you to blow heat to the roots.
Yeah.
You possibly could for a little while. I don't know once it starts snowing and freezing and everything, which I don't know where that part you just said even is.
It's really close to the North Pole. I was being absurd. I was being very absurd in
it's
that. But
Black Knight.
Let's say Winnipeg.
Okay.
Yeah, let's say somewhere like Winnipeg, which is very cold during the winters. But is it possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, you just have to do it like Montreal does it. You play on turf for the first month or two of the season, and then you go to grass in the summer.
I mean, okay.
It's definitely possible. You get the right situation and the right amount of money, you can make it work.
Okay.
So talking about the cold winters that we have here, I know you guys posted some pictures earlier on in the preseason where you were showing like these big kind of plastic bubbly things that you had over the field trying to keep it warm. Can you talk a little bit about like what you do with the grass to kind of keep it alive during these kind of insane winters that we have here?
Yeah, so the grass is dormant in the winter, so it's still alive, it's just not growing off color. And so we saw our old groundskeeper Darren Daly, who was here with us when the stadium opened until 2003. He had did something with the tarps when we played USA Mexico, the original game. And so we haven't used the tarp since he left. We didn't know what kind of condition they are. We pulled them out. We put them on the field, blew heat underneath it. I think we used 700 or 800 gallons of propane in the course of a week.
Wow.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot.
Okay.
I slept at the stadium for 5 days, was going out and checking the field at 1:30, 4:30 in the morning, making sure we had enough fuel in the system.
Making sure the lawn wasn't on fire.
and part of that is, we had our vehicles parked on the field so the tarps wouldn't blow up. I had my car sitting on the west side of the field.
Oh, man.
So you could not leave.
I drove the crew's, custom-branded vehicle home one time during that, which was a little awkward to pull into my driveway and pow with a Crew SC decorated car. We were able to get the heat underneath it, melt some of the ice out of it, get it kick-started a little bit in the spring. I don't know that we could ever do that again because we destroyed those tarps. Given the situation where we'd have to, first weekend of December, we could probably make it work for that situation. So
this is why we have the best grounds crew in the country, because they literally will sleep at the stadium if they have to in order to get the
but only because they can't use their cars.
I can tell you it's pretty eerie at 4:30 in the morning walking around the field in the middle of the winter.
See,
I was just going to ask that.
That's a good thing about DC. Like, if you were sleeping at RFK, you'd have tons of raccoon friends. There is nothing. There's nothing.
It smells like diesel already.
Yeah.
So are there, when you say it's eerie, like, what do you mean? Is it like there are weird sounds?
Everything's creaking, and so you're just like looking over your shoulder. I'm a huge fan of those Dateline NBC shows, and so I was watching those in, and then going to sleep, and then waking up at 4:30 in the morning, and you're like, yeah, it's creepy.
He went to sleep alone.
Yeah. Is there a nickname?
But was he?
What's that?
Do you guys have a nickname for the field? Is it the Field of Dreams?
No, we don't have anything. We call it the pitch. That's it.
The old mule.
What do you guys call? We talked about this off the air. What do you call the your bullpen?
Yeah, our office is called the Ground Pound. We're located just under the Heineken Star Lounge. You got a nice Scott sign on the wall. That door there. You have to have a secret knock, so don't just come trying to knock. We have a peephole, we won't let you in.
Going into that, Scott's had a huge campaign going into the Women's World Cup. How helpful have they been as far as everything goes and having them as a sponsor?
They are awesome. We get a lot of Scott's product as part of the sponsorship deal. We use it all. It's like I said this a few times. You might have read it in the article or whatever you just did, but we use the same stuff that they put out on the shelves a lot of the time. They just send it to us straight bagged. Like it looks like we got it from Lowe's, and we'll use it. Some of the stuff is definitely professional level, and we use a lot of fertilizer from them, a lot of grass seed from them. But they've been very helpful, and having them right in our backyard, half an hour down the road, it's great.
A question was just passed on to me from my sister, Jenny Bell, who's sitting over there.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Jenny Bell.
Relative of the show, actually. It's weird.
Relative of the show, yeah.
But she wants to know, what is your lawn like at home? Is it nice or is it a mess?
This is a good question.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm guessing your lawn at home sucks because you test out weird, crazy things on it.
You nailed it.
Kill it.
Oh,
wow.
I knew it.
Yeah, last season I had a home lawn trial period. I used a lot of chemicals there trying to see how they would work and see if we could use them at the stadium.
At one point,
I turned my lawn white, which my neighbors probably didn't like too much, but it was pretty cool. But, yeah, this year I got it turned around a little bit. I tried some patterns out there. I just had a birthday party for my one-year-old yesterday. And
nice. Congratulations.
A pattern we used somewhere at the stadium.
Are patterns kind of like you can't do them for games? Is that... I saw the Portland Trailblazers logo you cut in there to try to lure TJ back and Cody back.
I didn't really care if they come back. I just wanted to retweet more followers. So,
you're aces, man. You are aces.
The patterns we have to use, 6-yard wide pattern in the box, they want 5 yards the rest of the way down the field, east to west, so straight across the field so the refs can use it for offsides. We try to mix it up a little bit, change them in and out, make them a little shorter, a little wider. But at the same time, we have to have some kind of that side-to-side pattern. We'll put diagonal patterns out there, but they get mad at us. Last year, Andy's first game versus the Galaxy, we had a nice, awesome diagonal pattern. We walk-mode part of it. We felt really good about
it. And we won that game 4-1.
Yeah,
so
we got a slap on the wrist from the league telling us not to do it anymore, so... Complaining do we get from refs? This is a good question. I don't know how to answer this.
We're not a team podcast.
Yeah, no.
And we're also not live, so we can delete the thing if you want us to.
No. The refs all appreciate what we do, but they seem to always find something that they think is wrong with the field, and we try to go out of our way to make sure that they know that's not wrong. That means bringing a tape measure out and measuring the goals, which may or may not have happened this weekend, and being 100% right.
How dare they?
It happens, so we do what we can.
I want to ask you one quick follow-up before we go on from there. You talked about turning your home lawn white. I have a rental. Can you give me that formula?
No, I'll tell you what you need to do. There's actually a product out there that we use that slows the grass down and keeps it from growing. Homeowners don't know about this. No, that will change the color. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, this just keeps it from growing tall. Like, you can spray it on their lawn and it just stunts it.
It's a great
product to use. We use it at the stadium all the time.
I'm gonna text it to my wife right now.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but you don't hear landscapers tell you much about that because it keeps them from having to mow.
Yeah.
It's a great product. So.
What's it called?
Primo Max.
All right.
I should probably make sure that it's labeled for homeowners.
We may have to edit that out. So obviously, like.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, you're only invested in the 5-year-old. The 1-year-old is
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
playing
with house money.
Yeah, no,
so,
totally.
Obviously, like, worst-case scenario, you could give a lot of things that could happen, like, outside of games. Like, you know, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man urinates on the field. Like, that's a lot of urine. That would be bad. So, but in-game, what is, like the worst thing that could happen? Like, worst-case scenario, and this is not, like, you know, Orlando where it's fake grass and there's, you know, confetti everywhere. What is the worst thing that could happen that I could do to upset you? Or that anybody, not necessarily me. But
Morgan's asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend named Morgan.
Man, I don't know. We haven't had a runner in a while. I'd like to see a good runner.
But, I mean, like...
cut that part out.
Yeah.
Dan Lally'd probably be all over me for saying that.
Yeah. He was kidding.
I believe that's Dan running down the street towards you with his arms extended right now.
Same way he comes after Tony.
Yeah. But, I mean, a runner, a person naked, would just make it look awful for a second.
Yeah, I'm not tack on a naked person. No. I can tell you that.
Note to self, take clothes off. What, I mean, like, is there a player, like when Seattle broke the floor before Guillermo's penalty kick? Like, is that the worst?
No, honestly, the worst thing that we could have happen to us is going out for warm-ups, having a lightning delay, and then having to go back out for warm-ups again.
Oh, yeah.
The old double goalie warm-up in the box.
How bad is a incredibly saturated field like that for you?
You know what? It's not that bad. We have a few more divots, but not that many. You got a picture. Underneath, we have 10 inches of sand. So if the sand's wet, it actually holds together better.
Okay.
If it's dry, it's just like walking on a beach.
Wait, so there's,
it just shears away.
There's grass and then sand and then dirt?
No, it's grass and then an 85% sand soil, 85% sand, 15% soil.
Mix underneath, right?
Yeah, for drainage. And then 4 inches of gravel underneath that.
What?
So it's like basically like playing on a beach.
This is crazy.
And then what's under the gravel?
Drainage.
Yeah.
And it's straight clay underneath that. So.
All right.
What?
How freaked out were you when the scoreboard caught fire and they had to bring that fire truck almost on the field?
This is a great story.
Sam has all the awesome. You know what?
I don't think I've ever told him this. And
good question, Sam.
So when that happened, I was kind of, you know, I freaked out a little bit when it first happened, and we were walking around and making sure everything was good.
And you were not worried about people. You were worried about grass.
I wasn't worried about anything, to be honest. I was sitting back, and I saw that fire truck come around the corner, and I'm like, this is awesome. You know, like, they put the fire truck up. And
you were half into a bottle of scotch at that point because you were just done.
At a certain point, I realized that he had to drive over the field to get there. And that's where our main irrigation runs onto the field. And that's a heavy truck.
Oh, no.
And so we went down there and looked, and sure enough, there's big tire ruts in the field and whatever. We didn't really know what we had. No damage at all. I have no idea how that worked. But
so we're cool to set it on fire again.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do
that. No. Bad idea, Morgan.
That's a good
bad
thing
idea.
I asked.
Yeah, bad idea. Justin.
No, that's awesome. Engine 13, man.
That's
probably who it was.
It's right
13.
By my house.
They're just impressive as heck.
They put it up there and they didn't even use it. That was the funny thing. Like, they put that ladder up in front and then it just sat there.
They just looked at it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good view, though.
Yeah, it was.
One thing that has happened recently in MLS is there was a sprinkler malfunction in Kansas City and in Houston, I believe. How did that happen? Like, could that possibly happen here?
From what I've heard, the KC one happened with an iPad app, new technology. Thankfully, our stadium was built in 99. We don't have new technology with our irrigation system, so we don't have to worry about that happening. I don't know what happened in Houston. I just saw that today. If it did happen, I think we could have it off in about 30 seconds because we would shut down the entire main line.
Do you guys send messages to, like, the other like grounds crews and be like, ha, 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 you know? Look who got,
you know? No, because you're always just, like, you always worry that it's going to happen to you. You don't want to, like, jinx yourself. We have pretty good luck going right now. I don't want to set ourselves up.
Justin, if you watch the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials.
Oh, nice.
So you guys
I just want to see, like... I want to see Weston, like, text them, like, you know, your ass is grass kind of thing. I think, like,
hi-o. So you guys have a Twitter account now.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's
we need
new.
To plug that, yeah.
And you can find it on Twitter at @crewscgrounds, plural. That's an S, not a Z at the end. So who runs that, first of all?
It's me and one other guy, Andrew Northheim, our assistant groundskeeper.
Cool. Does any other team in the league have a Twitter account?
I think Toronto just started one.
But you guys were the first, as is tradition.
Sure, I don't know that's true, but I'll say
confirm or deny.
Sure,
I can. I
confirm,
so he doesn't have to. Right. Yeah, it was the first because I looked.
Yeah,
when they set theirs up, I looked.
Salt Lake has one too.
Yeah,
but they were second or third, so
maybe.
It's fine. What are some examples of tweets that you were going to send from that account, but you decided it was too racy? And go.
Wow.
You can ignore any of Morgan's questions.
Yeah, you can totally ignore all of Morgan's questions if you'd like.
We usually tell this. We usually tell this before the podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure we've had anything. You know, I always make everybody in the office read it first because I always sound like I'm going to sound like an idiot with the grammatical errors. Or I'm going to have there wrong, something along those lines. You say your and yours wrong, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if we've had anything too racy.
That was a horrible question, Morgan. Thanks.
Yeah, come up with
Appreciate
something
it.
Better.
Yeah, seriously,
I'll work
you
on
suck.
It. I'll work on it.
We just literally did that.
For those of you that weren't paying attention, like Sam, and we're on Facebook, it's at Crew SC Grounds, plural, with an S, not a Z.
So if you had, like, a blank check from pre-court, and it was just, like, to add one thing to the grounds crew equipment locker, what would you get? Like, would it be, like, a new track? Like, what's, like, your dream addition to the grounds?
We desperately need new fields at our training facility, so that would be the one thing. Yeah. You know, those fields were built in 96 and have never had anything done to them, or 97, so we're desperate for that. So that would be a nice check.
If you were hired,
please.
Unless anybody else has another question, if you were hired to work for like Seattle or something along those lines with their grounds, would you push for a Zamboni to go out and just vacuum the pitch during? You know, and is that a thing? And can I make money off of it?
They have a system that sweeps those artificial fields, so yes, that's a thing. You could probably make money off of it. You could sell, like, the side seat and drive around, like, at a hockey game.
The person in your position at Seattle, assuming there is one, assuming it's necessary to have a groundskeeper for plastic, do they... I mean, obviously, this is a very advanced position. You went to school for this. You studied this. This is your livelihood. You choose this over your wife and children. Now, do they go to school for anything? Or are they just kind of like vagabonds that they go, hey, Drifter, you're now the sweeper at the Clink?
No, they have a grounds crew.
And what would they go to school for?
Same thing we do, turf science. But the thing is that they
I feel
still
like that's
have,
a lie.
They have grass practice fields, and so that's mostly what they do.
How does that make any? Okay, all right.
I just imagine Seattle practicing on concrete because it's pretty much the same thing. How bad are regular turf fields? How bad are they?
They're better than the old straight concrete, basically, what you're talking about fields.
Can I get you on record saying they're ruining the league?
Yes!
Stop trying to get him in trouble, guys.
Man. Oh,
geez, Louise.
I'm kidding.
That's actually
I'm kidding.
They have their place for some situations. If you have a high school that has a lot of games on it, you may want to have one.
Yeah.
In prison.
I don't know that there's a place for it in professional soccer. I'll say that. The guys hate it. There's enough money there that they can get away with grass. I mean,
these opinions represent you and all Columbus Crest Sea, and that's fine. Yeah. No.
So, what is the best compliment that you've ever got for what?
Not even necessarily about grass, just like personally, maybe.
Man, that's
that's a good
He's
point.
He's a dapper guy. Because
there's so many, like, every time you hear about the Crew Stadium pitch, Mountford Stadium pitch, it's great, right? Everyone is just in awe of how good it is. So.
Yeah, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm here, the one that Anthony said earlier this year when he was on you guys' podcast about being the best groundskeeper in the league, that one meant something. So, previous ownership didn't know my name.
That's fantastic.
So having a guy that comes in and learns, you know, all the guys on the crew, who they are, recognizes the work they did. Andy's been amazing. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss, but it's true.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It's a complete change of what it was. It's a good change.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on. Weston Appelfeller, groundskeeper, head groundskeeper for the Columbus Crew SC for Moffray Stadium. Thank you so much for being on the show. Dude, you're welcome back anytime. Very interesting topic. And you're the first person who's ever gotten applause because Morgan's
he deserves
kind of a
it.
Weirdo.
People applaud me all the time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But
that's not true.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Well,
thanks for having us, and follow us at Crew SE Grounds. Have any questions, please let us know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We're coming back. We got a lot more stuff. Apparently, Morgan is going to pretend to be Greg tonight and do some weird Australian things. That's all coming next. This is The Massive Report.
Everyone, and welcome into the 49th episode of Cards Against Insanity. I'm feeling extremely cardy and extremely insane tonight, so let's get right into it. As always, opinions are mine and do not necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report podcast, Massive Report itself, or the Columbus Crew SC. Only one card to give out tonight, mates, but it's the most important card I, Greg Benson, have ever given out in the 48 show history of Cards Against Insanity. Here we go. Red card to things that are not knives being called knives. Because if there's one thing that I, Greg Benson, native son of the land down under, hate more than anything, it's smaller knives, which are clearly not knives, when compared to the large hunting knife that I, Greg Benson, as a native son of the land down under, am forced to carry on my person at all times for the law of the land of Australia, being called knives by people who clearly have no understanding of what knives are and how big a knife must be in order to be legally declared a knife by Her Majesty Bindi Irwin, the Queen President of the land down under, of which I, Greg Benson, am most certainly a native son, which gives me the unique power to be able to quickly tell which objects among a group of objects or two of more is a knife and which is not a knife. So, to you, things that are not knives but are still called knives by puny Americans wearing red leather jackets and red bandanas across their foreheads, to you I'll give the largest and most significant red card in the history of the show, Cards Against Insanity, which is hosted by me, Greg Benson, native son of the land down under, a.k.a. Australia, a.k.a. Her Queen Majesty President Bindi Irwin's crocky-rific country of wondrous large hunting knives. I award you no Foster's beer, no Vegemite sandwiches, and no free rides to work on a giant crocodile, which is the thing that we Aussies do almost every day during the work week. My name is Greg Benson, native son of the land down under. You can find me on Twitter at Gregulator614. And if you're a Hendox pub, you're sitting in my crocodile chair. A reminder to use the hashtag MRCard if you become aware of things that are not knives being referred to as knives. And I will include these attacks on Queen Bindi Irwin in next week's show. Until then, play on. But remember, I'm watching you.
Xenophobic if he gets the joke. I mean, yes. That's a legit question. It is still.
I think what? So.
No, we're horrible people then. All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt Goshard. Rachel's joining us. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A lot of not nice things happening in the section this week.
Yes, and, I heard.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of talk about that. I want to give you the first word on it, though, because I kind of feel weird framing it.
That's okay. No, yeah. I will preface it by saying I was not at the game.
Okay.
So I did not witness it firsthand, but I have been present for many other games where like behavior has happened as well.
All right.
But there was a blog post written basically pointing out the sexist chants that tend to happen in the supporters section, and basically calling out the fact that this is really prevalent, and especially apparently this past Saturday, there was mm-hmm. a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the internet kind of took over from there, and we kind of heard from people on both sides of it. Got a little bit ugly in some places, but yeah, that's pretty much what I heard had happened with the game.
It was interesting because there was that blog post, and forgive me, I know Justin knows the guy who posted it, like the name of the guy who posted it, because I am blanking right now.
It's Jeff, yeah.
Jeff Higginsburg. Yeah,
he's a good guy.
I'm not saying that to throw him under the bus. I'm saying that legitimately because I read it earlier and I forgot it. But there are certain chants going on in Nordica, and I definitely want to focus on Nordica with this, but it's also something that's kind of prevalent throughout the league as well. But that are, I don't know. I guess. For lack of a better term, with the exception of the, and I'm going to say this from my own perspective here, the blank is a girl's name, because those chants are always directed straight at Morgan.
I am aware of that.
Yeah, that's the only one I'm going to defend, and it's only because we're being mean to Morgan. Right. Other than that, I really have no defense for it. So I kind of want to. Justin has the article up right here. So if you don't mind, Justin, kind of paraphrase that for everybody else.
The article. I'm going to swear. So whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, Justin can swear. Yeah, it happens.
The article is called Nordica Misogynists Fuck Off, but it was F star star K.
Yeah. We're not on radio, it's fine. Yeah, no.
But it was posted Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I saw it. I think I was probably one of the first people who saw it because I was up early Sunday morning without a hangover, by the way.
Yeah. Good for you.
One of the few. and I read it and I was like, yes. I mean, you can have your own opinion on this, whichever way it is, it's fine. I'm just really glad that there are people who are willing to take what seems like most would be an unpopular stance.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened repeatedly in the past where things that seemed to be appropriate or acceptable were challenged by people who stood up and said something that this is not acceptable, and things change. Things get better. In my opinion, things get better. In some people's opinion, maybe things don't get better. I think those people are wrong. But I think that this is one of those cases where someone needed to say something. He quoted a few of the chants that are said. One of them in particular is one that, I've had friends in the stands make fun of this chant when it's said because it's the she fell over chant.
Yeah.
One of my friends, I don't even know, I'm not even going to mention his name, former very prominent crew fan, designed the original crew union logo, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I respect this person a lot. He used to, when that chant was made, he used to mock the people who said it by saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, women are weak, yeah, yeah. And that's basically what you're saying when because he was mocking the people saying it, that stupid chant, she fell over.
Yeah.
So this is not new, right? There's been people who have been standing up against that chant for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Not so eloquently as in this blog post. And it really seemed to have gotten some people angry.
There are, and I'll use this as an example, the conversation that was had between myself and a few other people last year about the chant that happened after You Suck Asshole. There was a chant that went on after that was super homophobic. If you understood the context in Spanish, and there was an article written about that, and you don't hear that, or you at least hear it drowned out every game. And so, I guess, Rachel, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on just kind of the state of what's going on and what you think, like, because we're sitting here, we're five guys around microphones.
Yes,
and,
I know.
And I think your opinion might be a bit more refreshing in this sort of situation. Not to say that Justin didn't say
very
appropriate
well
things,
yeah.
but it's don't even want to say it's a delicate topic, but it's one of those things where,
it's divisive.
It's certainly divisive. And so give me your thoughts on it.
Well, I had season tickets in the Nordica for 3 years, and the reason that I moved my season tickets was because of this very topic.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I just did no longer feel comfortable sitting mm-hmm. there because of all the chants that went on, it just seemed very hostile toward women in a very passive way. Because mm-hmm. people were just chanting along with everybody else, so it wasn't necessarily intentional, but yeah. it doesn't matter if it's intentional because the words still have meaning. So that was kind of what happened. And I do think that a lot of it, it's a mob mentality thing. People start a chant, you chant along so that you have this loud thing happening to hopefully seem really aggressive to the other team and all that kind of stuff. But what you're saying is still, like, if you are using language that is basically coded as anti-women, like "she fell over," for example, that one always really bothered me because I was like, well, the only meaning behind it is you're saying that person's a girl and they suck. Like, so that's not great. And that kind of thing, and it's like, and that one's one of the more obvious examples, because it's like, well, there is no other meaning that could be here than what you're explicitly saying, and that's sexist, so, like, that's the only thing behind it. So that kind of thing always really bothered me, and I was really glad to see somebody else bring it up, and I know some people more, especially from, like, a male point of view, because I actually spoke with him on Twitter, and he said, you know, it's the post that my wife should have made, but, you know, if a woman were to say these things, they would immediately be, like, set upon by people. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, hopefully, since, you know, a dude said it, people might listen, because...
That's, in and of itself, that's disappointing, because it's one of those things where, you know, it's a conversation that should be able to be had, and in... There are points and counterpoints that can be made.
Right.
I'm not defending counterpoints here, but I'm just saying that, you know, people can have those conversations. To me, you know, that specific chant, saying "he fell over," is literally the exact same thing, just
and one
without,
less letter to remember.
Without
the sexism.
Without the weirdness.
Fun in that?
Yeah. No, it makes more sense if it's a women's national team game. Chant "she fell over." I mean, that's Alex has a point.
Well, she makes an interesting point when you say, like, well, what's the fun in that if it's not sexist? And I think there's a legitimate conversation to have here, because whether it's sexist chants or there are some chants that people do to drown out La Turbina chants that are racist, in my opinion, there are a lot of people.
It's not La Turbina itself is chants, it's the translations of
people, instead of chanting the stuff in Spanish, will chant other stuff that is essentially racist to kind of mock them. And mock the Turbina chants. There's a lot of this stuff, and I think that there are a lot of people in Nordeca who are maybe not supporters, but who sit in the supporter section because they go there for the sole purpose of drinking and being obnoxious and doing things that they think they can get away with in Nordeca socially that they could never get away with anywhere else except Nordeca. And that attitude...
There might be people like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a lot of people like that.
One or two.
Yeah, just a couple. But it's a big problem, and unfortunately, the way Nordeca is set up at the moment, there's not really clear leadership from anybody in terms of, you know, the groups are kind of divided, and if you're not associated with one of these groups, there's nobody who's going to tell you, hey, you need to stop doing that and stop being an asshole. There's nobody who does that, and so these people get free reign until some, like, a blog post like this comes up and everybody, like, takes notice.
Well, and this
they
is
get
one
away
of,
with it.
This is one of the things I wanted to bring up. I had a conversation with a few people who were in Nordeca on Saturday, and the conversation was, you're literally standing in the second row and you're literally doing nothing. And I don't mean to take away from the points that you were making, Rachel, but I think it feeds into that, because there are so many people. It's used as a marketing tool, and it's used as a opportunity to sell tickets. And when you're doing that, you're bringing people in. I am not saying at all that misogynistic chants, potentially racist chants. I've not heard anything like that, but homophobic chants, which there was the one that seemed to be squashed a while ago, but those sort of chants, you know, it's difficult when you don't know who's there to figure out how to regulate that.
Right, and it can always be, like, outliers of people that just happen to be there, and they think, oh, people will yell stuff if I start it. So, and then, you know, there's no control over it, which is, I understand the whole, you know, leadership thing is kind of a rocky subject from dependent on, you know, obviously,
and
in
I'm not
general,
selling.
People in Columbus are like, we don't want to have a CAPO, which is fine. It's just, you know, when you don't know who's there and who's starting things, anything can kind of happen.
And for the record, I'm not saying the she fell over thing and things along those lines are outliers.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm not at all saying that because I've been to more than a few matches
where that has happened. So, like, I know it's a common thing.
That was for the benefit of our listeners and not for the benefit of you. Because
Sorry.
At the end, no. At the end of the day, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't presented in the fact or
right.
in saying that I thought that was something new that just happened.
Because no, right.
it certainly is not. And that it's certainly something that merits further discussion.
Well, I mean, going back to what we were talking about a second ago, I think until you address this cultural thing and talking about the people who don't chant, there are a lot of people who don't chant. There are people in the front row of Hudson Street Hooligans who don't chant. I mean, so for me, that is low on the list of like things that need to change about the section. That's a result of the fact that the supporters groups themselves can't sell out the section, and so the front office takes it into their own hands and sells a portion of the tickets themselves to random people. And unfortunately, a lot of these random people think that, oh, I can do whatever I want. This is cool. I'm in the bad boy section. You know, I can act crazy and wild, and nobody's going to do anything about it.
Is Columbus bucket list a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing or not, but it seems
people have talked about that before. That Nordica is like a Columbus bucket list thing.
But I mean,
what do you think, Justin?
Mark Titus tweeted before the game. Mark Titus, who everyone knows is Club Trillion,
yeah,
sort of a local celebrity, tweeted before the game that he was looking for 2 Nordica tickets so that his friends could get drunk and go say anti-Canadian things to Toronto FC.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that is it.
Yeah.
That is it. That is Mr. Columbus celebrity saying that this is something that his friends want to do. Didn't say anything about supporting the crew. Didn't say anything about the Columbus crew, about going to the game, about watching a Columbus team play soccer. No, no, no. He needed 2 Nordica tickets so that he could, because his friends wanted to go get drunk
and yell at Canada. Yeah.
Now, look. Maybe he's joking because he's a comedian, apparently, or a funny guy. I don't care. That's what it is. That's exactly what happens. Welcome to the Nordica. It's what we've been talking about for a long time. People get upset that we talk about this. It's the truth. This is the Nordica. This is what they sell. This is what you get. And, like, look, my concern about this reaction to this, first of all, I don't say those chants. I haven't for years. I don't chant things that I don't agree with. I don't tell people not to.
Yeah.
I don't think that this post is necessarily telling people not to. They're raising a point. What I don't like, and this is something that I've encountered multiple times over the years, and one of the reasons why I'm very soured on the whole Nordica experience and the whole supporters group's experience, is when it's dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
When it's dismissed as being someone complaining who doesn't understand. When it's dismissed as someone who's weak. When it's dismissed as someone who's just out there to be offended. No. These are some of these points are very legitimate, real, and need to be respected. In that this is a something that we can discuss.
It
and
is
so many of the responses were, no, you're stupid.
Yeah,
enough. Get over it. That is where I really disagree with how things have been handled in the Nordica.
Yeah, like, I know you're never supposed to read the comments on things, but
I
went to the comments on the post on Facebook, just, I don't know why. I guess I was hoping that it wouldn't be as bad as
I thought it would be.
I know. But it was. It was. And so I was like, you know, all the things that I saw, it was just so disheartening because it was like, oh, well, obviously this guy doesn't know what's going on, or people are just offended to be offended. And I was like, no, I'm offended because you're being offensive. Like,
that
there's a legitimate cause behind it, and you're just being very dismissive and making me feel as though what I might have to say is just to be dismissed by you. And so, like, that was just seeing people's responses to it, where it was just very disappointing.
So, I'm really, really happy that this blog post was written. really, really happy. To address the specific chants, the first one he put out there with the "you're all a bunch of C words." I don't even think we can say we shouldn't say that word.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
You've talked for long enough tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize this wasn't my show.
Go walk into the bathroom. Honestly, I take this stuff extremely seriously. I wrote the code of conduct that's on the crew website with Chris LaMacchia. I hold myself accountable to it, and I have a lot of friends in the section, and I like to think that we're decent people who can act in a decent way. I found out, you know, through talking to people and communicating, who did it, who started it, how long it happened, where it happened, what section, what row, and that guy, it's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. The girl's name thing. Referenced the New York game on the 4th of July where there was a chant that said, "Sasha's girl's name, Sasha's girl's name, la, la, la." I started that. That's on me. Background is my name is Morgan. It's, you know, I've been told that I have a girl's name my whole life, and it doesn't bother me at all. I think it's kind of funny, and I thought it would be funny to do, like, Sasha's girl's name. I just reacted, and that was bad. That was dumb of me. I didn't think of how that might sound to kids in the stadium. They might think, oh, girls are weaker than guys. And, oh, my God, if that's true, if even one of them thought that, I don't know if I could ever recover from it. So I take total and complete ownership of that Sasha thing. That was me. I will do 1,000,000,000% better next time. That was dumb. The she fell over thing, that's also dumb. This is why the she fell over and the Tijuana whore chants are just so repulsive. And I'm happy that he wrote this, because if it's the same people saying the same things on Twitter over and over again, it becomes an echo chamber and becomes almost circle jerk-ish. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see another person saying this. And it has, I promise you guys, there has been so much good conversation happening today about this. And I emailed I talked to that guy on the Columbus Underground message board and on Twitter. And I owned up for a lot of it. And I gave him the threads that were trying to get better. And I had a really nice conversation with him.
Yeah.
This is exciting. This is one of those moments in time where we can change and change for the better. I love the section for a lot of reasons. That's one of them.
Literally the one thing that that in that entire article that I was like, I don't know, maybe context, was just the "is a girl's name" thing.
Yeah.
It's literally because I knew it was directed straight at you.
Yeah.
And I'm not excusing it. I'm not excusing it at all.
No one thinks you are, Matt.
Yeah,
but
there might be
kids in the stadium that hear it and they go, yeah, girls are dumb. They're weak.
Yeah.
Holy hell, dude. If I ever have a part in giving that impression on someone young and impressionable,
of course,
cut my head off.
I just want to say something real quick. I think we all around this table understand where the decency line is, and that has been crossed repeatedly all the time at any time. What do we do about it from here on out in order to deter things like that from happening?
Well, this is the tricky question, and I think it's a problem with the structure of Nordica as it stands right now, because right now, if you are somebody who goes to Crew Stadium once every 6 months or, you know, twice a season or whatever, you know all of these offensive chants and don't know that people have stopped doing them. You don't know that it's not okay. I see people do YSA. I tell people on a almost weekly basis, hey, don't do that chant. And they stop when you tell them because they don't know.
That's what we need to do.
But unfortunately,
I don't know if that's the biggest problem.
There's more
communicating with
there's
someone.
There's more than that.
No, because there's a bigger problem, which is that there are a lot of chants that people don't. YSA is one thing, but there is a lot of chanting and there's a lot of just general behavior that people do not want to change, and they actually embrace it. With Hudson Street Hooligans, basically every year we get a bunch of new people here, and the new people come in and they think, oh, I'm supposed to be a hooligan. I'm supposed to be this, you know, European-style aggressive person who's a jerk to everybody, and you basically have to tell them, no, you know, we're not really doing that, you know, you don't have to, you know, try to spit at the opponent, you don't have to, you know, don't threaten to throw stuff, don't actually throw stuff. All of this kind of behavior that they have expectations and then reality. Some of that is marketing on MLS's part, and some of that is is, you know, the way we kind of market ourselves. You know,
if we're
going to
talk about this, let's talk about specifics. This kind of straw man thing that we're doing, where we're just like, these assholes that are drunk and new and don't know,
no.
Screw them.
Well, no, here's,
which specific things are we talking
okay,
about?
Okay, here's one thing that I think needs to happen, and this is something that we touched on in preseason. If we had an Ordeca Supporters Council, we would have a leadership structure that people would be able to look to, that everybody would answer to, who would then be able to implement, like, actual rules.
For what transgressions?
For stuff like sexism, racism, violence. You know, there were people who almost got in a fight earlier at
violence.
Last
I would say that violence, racism, and sexism is something that should be handled by stadium security. And violence, for sure, by the police.
So how about this? Everybody and their mother, regardless of where, when I turn around and I see it all the time, everybody has their phone in their hand in one way or another. How about we start a hashtag that's followed by stadium security? We turn around, you stab the picture of that person.
No.
Okay. And look. This is great. I'm fine with you guys talking about stuff like how to solve this. I don't think this gets solved.
I think this gets solved.
Which part?
Like any of this.
Any of it.
I think this is part of something that you complain about and you bring it to people's attention, but in the end, people make an individual choice what they're going to chant, what they're going to say, how much they're going to drink, how they're going to act. They make an individual choice to do this. The Nordeca is not going to change at the speed that we want. It's
sure.
going to change gradually, and it's going to change organically. The structure is a problem, okay? There's so many more problems. People go into this corner on dollar beer night. And even on dollar, and to get drunk, but even on dollar beer night, there is stuff that goes on in the corner that, you know, you mentioned European soccer supporters, this ideal of that. Look, there are people who want to just support the team.
Yeah.
And there are people who don't want to be like that. They don't think that has to do with supporting the team. Years have gone by where this has been something that some of us have tried to change.
I think a lot has changed over the years.
YSA is a great example.
A lot. But there's an aspect that keeps getting overlooked. And it's that Nordeca is the only place in the stadium where you can stand up, unfurl TIFO, wave flags, chant, make chants, do things that several people feel is part of supporting your soccer team. To do that, though, you have to be surrounded by drunkenness, language that may or may not be offensive, depending to you. In some cases, racism.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases that I've been exposed to, homophobia. In some cases that I think all of us have been exposed to, misogynist mm-hmm. chants.
Yeah.
I would also talk about like violence that's been threatened because
yeah.
it's happened to me.
Yeah.
I would also talk about sort of a distrust from the security and cops being identified as a troublemaker first rather than a soccer supporter first. These are things that you must be you are surrounded by if you just want to do the things that I mentioned before. Chance. TIFOs, wave flags, stand up, support your team. There's no other place in the stadium where you can do this, and I know this because we tried to leave. At one point in the past, we tried to leave because there was a handful of us that were being exposed constantly to these sorts of things, including violence. And we decided that we were going to try and say that we could spread this to another part of the stadium and have a soccer supporters mentality outside of that section. And the result of that was that I received a letter threatening banishment from Crew Stadium for not sitting in the section where my seats were.
No.
That was from the Columbus Crew. Now, that sent basically a chilling that told us you're not going to do that anywhere else but right there. And the supporters groups backed that up. The supporters groups did not want us to move, and it's something that you mentioned earlier today, Alex. Mm-hmm. You're splitting up the Nordeca.
Yeah.
Like that's some sort of crime. Like we're supposed to be Nordeca till we die rather than Columbus till we die. This is unacceptable to me, and it's why I don't want to be in the corner. It's because you feel like you're trapped in there. You have to be exposed to this nonsense, this insanity, mm-hmm. this behavior that nowhere else in the world would be found to be acceptable, except there.
Well, it's not acceptable there. It's not acceptable there. And report violence and report racism and report sexism to literally the security staff. Please,
I've done that
everyone.
Before, and it doesn't work. Rachel, why should we do that? I've done it.
I did it on Saturday, Morgan, and nothing was done.
I was not there. I'm going to take your word for it, but I have also reported stuff to security, and it has been taken care of.
There was a time where we reported what was going on. There were actually security guards standing 12 feet from me when I was called a fucking faggot. Where I was being threatened, you've told me that a thousand times.
But it doesn't mean we
and they didn't do
trying.
Anything. And when I complained about it, nothing was done. It was swept under the rug as a he said she said incident.
That's crazy. It's stupid.
I hate that happened. And the result of that was that nothing happened. When we tried to leave, we were blamed for leaving. Yep. This is not.
I'm not debating any of that.
But see, what you're suggesting is that you complain. And what I'm saying is, why should we need to do that? We're not in the wrong.
You don't.
We should be able to go someplace, go to a part of the corner, the stadium, apart from the corner, away from these things where this constantly happens.
And what happened when we brought that up with the front office? What did they tell us?
What? When we did what?
When we, before the season last year, we said we'd like to do a kind of Nordeca supporter section outside of the stadium.
It didn't happen.
Well, what did they say?
I don't remember.
They said, yes, you can do that. But you know you do have you know you you're like we wanted to do it in the section next to the Upper 90 Club at the time, and they said, okay, cool. Just you know that's you know there are people that have tickets there, so you're going to have to like have enough people to fill it up.
Yeah, it was up,
and it died
it
on the vine because three
yeah, right.
people
it was
said
up
they were
to us to
do
figure
it.
Out how to populate that. Right.
I think one.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm going to make it.
No, it's insane. It's insane. I mean, this needs to be something that's an option for people. Like for the guy who wrote this. He needs to have an option where he wants to be in a supporter section, where he's not involved in that. Where you're not saying like, "This is what I want to do. I don't want to be a part of this." Like where people around me are chanting that kind of thing. This should not be an option. That should not be the only option.
You're right.
Sorry, Rachel.
That's okay. No, I was just gonna say like I think that it was like Justin saying it's a bigger issue with the culture that has been built over so many years. This is what people expect, so they you know that's just what it is to them in their head, and it's gonna be really difficult to try and change any of that. And if it does happen, it'll be gradually. But I will say I think I saw something said by you on Facebook earlier, and if it wasn't you, I'm sorry. Where it should be more about being supportive of the team that you're cheering for.
Yeah.
Right. And not so much negativity toward the other team, which I'm not saying, you know, be nice to them. I'm just saying, you know, first of all, pay attention to the words that you're using because they may be harmful and sexist and racist. And, you know, there are ways to be angry and negative toward the other team without being offensive. Like, I think that we're a creative enough people that we can come up with ways to do that where we don't have to be offensive to do that. But also remember that the reason you're there is to support your team. Mm-hmm. And so why not make that more of a focus?
I think one of the reasons why that's not a focus is because, again, there's this section of the Nordeca population that is there to behave badly because they think they can get away with it. And you can't, bleep me if you have to, Sam, but it's really hard to cheer for the crew and say fuck at the same time, basically. Mm-hmm. And so people create all these chants against, you know, whoever, because you can swear a lot. And work it into chants easier and feel like, you know, you're this really tough badass because look at me, I'm cussing in public, blah, blah, blah. It's dumb. But another thing, you know, when we're talking about moving out of Nordeca and stuff like this, I believe firmly that we have to fix it because if we left, if Justin left, if I left, if everybody left, if the people who are, you know, have been around a long time all just kind of packed up and left, it's not going to make Nordeca better. Nordeca is still going to be this, you know.
Who cares?
Well, I care because it's my team. It's my stadium. It's my city.
It's your team. It's not your section.
I know, but it's my city.
That's the only place that you should be able to do that.
The Columbus Crew for me is a reflection upon Columbus as a city. It's a reflection on me as a citizen of Columbus, and I want it to be as good as possible. And when something's
someplace else.
I know, but when something's not right about my city, I want to just face it head on and be like, look, this is something that's unacceptable. I want to try to fix it. I understand that that's not everybody's style, but I mean, for me, I feel like I have to.
I'm going to pull the Trump card here. I'm going to pull the Trump card here because I'm the host and I get to do that because we're going to get out of this segment here real quick. But my whole thought on it is twofold. First of all, Nordeca is broken. Nordeca is broken because Nordeca is not accountable to anyone because there is no Nordeca. Nordeca is a collection of supporters groups which are only accountable to those supporters group leaders, but also a lot of group tickets that were sold as well.
Supporters Council would fix that, in my opinion.
I agree completely. But if a different section happened where there was actual accountability, I think you would see actual, real, legit support. And that's what concerns me about everything that's going on right now. You see all of this stuff right now that's just, we're just going to do whatever
can
we can.
One real quick thing. One of the really cool things that's happened in the Columbus Crew in the stadium lately has been the mini Nordeca. Mm-hmm. This is a really great thing because it's Frankie Hadick leading a lot of kids in chants.
Yeah.
On the other side of the stadium.
Alex was leading them in chants this last week.
That's great. It's amazing, and I love it. I want to say that's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And where that happened before was when a few of us left the corner, went up to the upper deck, and we were watched like hawks by security. We were troublemakers. During the game, we were sent some of the most nasty messages you can imagine from people who were still sitting in their deck saying that we were splitting up the Nordeca.
I apologize for
that. In that moment, when we were chanting, we made a conscious effort not to say any chants that swore, not to be drunk, not to be jerks, not to intimidate anybody, and to teach.
Yeah.
There were families that were sitting around us with little kids, and by the 60th minute of that game, those little kids were jumping with us, saying chants with us. The parents were smiling, having a great time, because they saw what it was to be an actual soccer supporter.
Yeah.
This happened.
It's like Kepo Carl.
That same week was when I received my letter saying that we needed to return to our seats because we were sitting in seats that were not ours.
Yeah. All right.
So, like, what I'm saying is Mini Nordeca is an example of what we tried to accomplish back in those days. And it's happening now. It's happening in a section outside of the corner.
All right. Last thing, last word. Rachel, it's yours.
Oh, okay. Well, I just think that it is possible. I know that it would take a lot of work and people actually, caring to do so to be able to change these things. It's like the chance that have been tried to be gotten rid of in the past where it's taken a lot of effort and a lot of time, and it's not something that'll happen overnight, and there are some people whose minds are never going to change because this is what they do, and nothing will change that. But I think it's just really important, even if it's just people around you start chanting, you mindlessly go into it, you just have to pay attention to the words that you're actually saying and be aware that even though your attention may not be to offend other than the person you're directing them toward, you can't take away the meaning behind them and the fact that the intention doesn't matter if they are offensive.
Fair enough.
So, just pay attention to what you're saying and be aware that you may be offending a lot of people even if you're not trying to.
Thank you. Good point, and I appreciate you having you on the show.
We're
going to come back in a couple minutes here, and we're going to say some horribly offensive things about Orlando City, but none of them will be misogynistic or anything else. That's coming up next. It is the Massive Report.
Yeah. I go multiple times to, you know, Crew 96 on Twitter and see what's going on. And, you know, I get a lot of great ideas from our fans.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true! Just do it! Some people dream of success while you're going to wake up and work hard at it. Nothing is impossible. You should get to the point where anyone else would quit, and you're not going to stop there. No, what are you waiting for? Do it! Just do it! Yes, you can! Just do it! Stop giving up.
And we are back in segment four of the Massive Report. We are brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. We're at Hendock's Pub. Thank you so much for joining us.
Just do it.
I want to thank the gentleman sitting across the table, Mr. Morgan Hughes.
The honorable representative
that,
from
when did that come
Hilliard.
Together? That came together like on some weird morning last week.
Yeah, like Friday morning, I think, right?
It was
Thursday or Friday.
Just like a couple of different ideas came together, and then Morgan's like, sends me this text message with that, and I fell out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm never a part of your reindeer games.
Your first response was, I've watched this 14 times.
I did. I watched that video every day. Since that came out, since the Shia LaBeouf video came out,
how many
watch that
views
video
does it have?
Every day, like 20 times a day.
Yeah.
And then to have it put with the Columbus crew.
Yeah.
By again, the gentleman sitting across the table.
How
me,
are you?
I fell out.
Dude.
Yeah.
It was real good. It was something that I don't even consider that I made it because I enjoy it so much.
So one quick thing I want to touch on. We're going to the what?
No, it's that's bullcrap, Sam.
There should be more than that. Go watch the thing on.
I have 339 views.
See, there you go.
339.
Oh,
and probably like at least like 300 of those are me.
YouTube/ Morgan is a girl's name. That's where you go to find it.
That's not real.
Yeah, check that
real
stuff out.
I'm watching it again right now.
You are watching it right now because it's inspirational. The one thing I want to talk about real quick before we go into the next segment, because Manny just walked in his Charlie Brown Mexico jersey. Manny, you suck.
Damn, we hate you. No, we don't.
No, we love you, Manny.
We love
even though you're
love
from
you,
Westerville
Manny.
And you're a Mexico fan for some reason. The U.S. men's national team, since the last time we did a podcast, crapped out of the Gold Cup. The next game that the U.S. men's national team has that has competitive, like, things is the playoff against Mexico. And that's going to happen at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, home game for Mexico. It's going to be great.
Well, here's my thing, and this is the only point I wanted to make in this whole thing, because there was a lot of on social media about this. Are you going to play this game in Columbus? You can't.
No, because that would be home turf for us, but they should have put it somewhere other than Rose Bowl, which is home turf for them.
You physically can't play the game in Columbus the day that it's scheduled because of the Quarter Horse Congress. That's why we play three road games in October every single year. It's a Gold Cup match.
And it's
essentially, it's CONCACAF. It's essentially a Gold Cup match, and it's just an opportunity to sell a lot of tickets and make a lot of money.
But the dream would have been awesome.
Yeah.
And we had a TIFO planned already.
Well, here's my question.
You sure did.
Here's my question. Like, I want to feed into everybody's inner conspiracy theorist, and this is why I'm starting with Justin.
What are you saying, Matt?
Well, you saw what happened with the two Mexico matches leading up to the final, right?
Oh, something bad happened?
Something horrible happened, but
yeah, it was
is
bad.
This just the quest for more money?
No. Look, I think, like I said last week, I think that you're going to see in Gold Cup whatever you want to see in Gold Cup. So if that's what
if that's the way you want to see it, then sure.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
No, I don't know. I think the U.S. played okay against Jamaica. They didn't play great. They basically played as well as their talent would let them play. And Jurgen Klinsmann made a few errors of personnel decisions. I still would have liked to have seen Jozy Altidore stay with the team just to see how he would do against a team like Jamaica. But Jamaica played very well. They, you know, it's funny, last week when we were talking about what was going to happen, one of the things that I was this close to saying was that Jamaica was going to win 1-0. I switched at the end because I couldn't imagine that possibility.
I'm pretty sure I did predict a Jamaica win. But no,
false.
Sam would never acknowledge that.
That is so false.
Because Alex didn't say it.
Yeah, I didn't predict that, so that didn't happen.
Yeah.
How dare you?
That was not the right school.
I will review the tape.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. But tapes will be reviewed.
That was tough. I mean, think about it. Seriously, Trinidad and Tobago should have been in the – could have very well been in the final.
Yeah.
Panama very well could have been in the final. Costa Rica very well could have been in the final. I mean, it was wide, wide open.
Yeah.
Just because that's what Gold Cup is.
When the United States beats Germany or beats the Netherlands or Spain or Portugal or something like that, and it's usually like 1-0, 2-1.
Yeah.
To me, that's what that Jamaica game was. It was clear which team was the, you know, quote unquote better team. And sometimes, you know, you possess the hell out of the ball and you pepper them with shots.
Yeah.
And they don't go in. And that's usually how we beat big teams. And, you know, a team beat us in the same way.
Right.
And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how, I'm not calling people out on this, but I question when people are just saying like, yeah, we should beat Germany. And they're like, we should never lose to Jamaica. But it's like the same thing.
We could certainly lose to Jamaica. Jamaica has a quality squad.
Yeah.
That's not all
they
I'm
played
saying.
Against. Yeah. They played in the Copa America against the best teams in the world, arguably, and held their own, did very, very well.
They took advantage of counterattacks, and you know, they put away balls that they should have put away. And I don't know, man. Sometimes you just lose games like that.
Well, I hate Jurgen Klinsmann because he used to play for Inter, and it's in my contract. I have to. But even I am not that upset about this because it's the Gold Cup, and Gold Cup sucks, and weird stuff happens in the Gold Cup, and weird stuff happened in this Gold Cup, and we should all just kind of take a chill pill and move on.
I want to be clear. Like, you mentioned something about me, the possibility of me poisoning your Red Bull today.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell everybody I love Alex Stanek.
I do not.
He supports...
What's this metallic taste in my mouth?
He'll die tomorrow.
he supports Milan, which is, like, I don't like Milan. So there's that.
What's a Milan?
But it's a soccer team, Matt.
I do love Alex.
I have no idea.
It's a cookie.
And it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. That's what the metallic taste was. All right.
All right. So second thing, Disney FC on Saturday. One thing I want to promote here real quick. We're going to be doing, after the Orlando match on Saturday, Cutthroat Karaoke here at Hendox.
Oh, my God.
All the money from this goes to the Kirk Urso Fund.
Nice.
It costs $1 to sing a song. It costs $5 to cut off anybody singing a song.
Oh,
it costs $5 to restart the song that you were singing.
Ooh.
And it costs $5 to make anybody in the bar sing any song that you want them to sing. And all the money goes to the Kirk Urso Fund.
Oh, this sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty silly.
Question. If somebody makes me sing a song, can I cut myself off for
$5? You can. Yes, you can. Right. Yes, yes. Right. That's a thing.
It's called an inception.
But then
this
I can restart it. For $5 more.
Question, go what broke. Is karaoke?
That's
a good question.
It's Japanese. It's a Japanese word.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Japanese word.
Does he play for Orlando?
Hollow voice is what it means. Yeah, yeah.
What I mean, like, what do you even say about this game coming up on Saturday? Like, I feel like we've played Orlando 27 times.
Because we goddamn have.
Right. Yeah. And Orlando has existed for what, like, 18
Three
games?
Weeks. 3 weeks.
And I feel like we've played them literally more games than they have literally existed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a red card.
Yeah, it just keeps happening.
Yeah, I got some hot takes.
Yeah, give me your hot take, Alex.
Kyle Larin's good. He's going to score a goal. But Orlando's defense is freaking terrible, and so they are going to concede like crazy. And cool. I'll save my prediction for later. That's a teaser.
Justin.
Ooh.
I kind of liked Alex's prediction. That game yesterday, NYC and Orlando, was
crazy.
Goal explosion.
It was an awesome game to watch.
Yeah. It's a Goalmageddon.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Like
goal
explosion.
Yeah. 14 goals yesterday scored in 2 games.
Oh, yeah.
Between Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, and the defense was so bad. Just so, so bad. And Orlando's coach was suspended, sitting up in a New York Yankees press box.
Amazing.
Watching something.
Amazing.
But he's going to be there, I guess, on whatever day. I hate Orlando. They are easily... They have supplanted Seattle on my list of complete...
Me too! I think so.
Yeah. I don't know how this has happened.
Morgan.
I had a suspicion this was going to happen.
Give me your hot take, Morgan.
Hot take brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company, Matt. Coming right up on a platter right next to a glass container filled to the brim with delicious, intoxicating your mother. So... I think that Orlando is a terrible city. They have a terrible sports franchise known by the Lions, I believe, and they suck. And back to you. Go ahead.
Bam.
Go ahead, Alex. All
Go ahead, Alex.
Can I talk briefly about this Orlando-New York game? If you did not watch this and you hate Orlando, you should go back and watch it because, spoiler, Kyle Larin scores a hat trick and they still lose. So it is about as good as you can get. It is really entertaining. As a Milan fan, I enjoyed it because I got to see Kaká and Pirlo.
Whoa, did all those goals happen in the second half?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 2-1.
It was
pretty
crazy.
Close, yeah.
It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, you show up for the Kyle Larin hat trick, you stay because they still lose. It's amazing. Crazy. Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Justin, you have one more take on this. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, obviously, Kyle Larin had some really terrific play. Look, this is a kid. He's 20 years old. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year this year. We saw when the player salaries were released, the disparity between like the superstars on these teams and then the sort of role players on these teams. And you notice... I can't remember who brought this up. It might have been Nate Beckman. Somebody brought this up about like how the league standings are shaping up right now. Where you look and you see like a team like Columbus, we're in second, ahead of New York City and Orlando. Orlando's payroll is incredible, yeah. And they're going to get a. Is it possibly going to get Chicharito or somebody like that?
It's still a possibility, but I don't think it's a possibility for this summer. I thought were talking about maybe for next year.
All right, so like they have a player like Kaká who, for instance, is making but $6 million.
Yeah,
and then they have and then New York City had Pirlo, David Villa,
Mixed Discrews
on that team, and Lampard's on that team is not playing yet, but he's on the team, and you see like the way that those two teams played, and compare it to the way that we played. I don't see really a whole huge disparity, except that we actually kind of played better this week. Toronto is another good example. Like, this is what we keep saying. Like, how do you take these teams that have these huge, huge superstars getting paid a lot of money, pair them on a team with a team with the players who make $60,000 or $80,000 or $100,000? I don't see how it works.
Yeah, it's really tough, and some of the best managers in the world have struggled with it. Real Madrid in the early 2000s is a great example, where they had all kinds of locker room problems because they had the Galacticos, they had Ronaldo, David Beckham, Roberto Carlos, all these guys, and then they had, you know, all these like role players who were earning, you know, fractions of what these other guys were, and it divided the locker room between the stars, and they would all hang out together, and then all the role players would hang out together. And there wasn't that kind of united locker room, which I think the Crew have. So, I mean, I do think that's an advantage for us.
Do you think that that's why three-quarter and Berhalter are not panicking to try to fill something in this window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Also, I don't think that they're panicky people. I honestly think Greg Berhalter is, like I say it a lot, he's just super cool. I mean, he just is even keel. I think Anthony Precourt had a really good tweet after the game. He's like, you know, he was disappointed, unacceptable, to give up that sort of lead and give away 2 points. But it wasn't panicky, right? And I think the two guys, they work together very well in that regard. And it's gonna be okay. I mean, there's not going to be a huge move to say, okay, time to fire Berhalter. You know, time to make all these sweeping changes. I think just keep it going. Keep it going. See what happens. It's better than the alternative, which is Toronto FC of, like, their entire existence.
Oh, dear God. Yeah. So last thing, score predictions. We're going to go right into that. Just get this one put to bed. Justin.
It's on the road.
Yeah. With Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1-1.
All right. Alex.
I think Kaká's only going to play a half because he's going to be in the All-Star game. I think Kai Kamara might only play a half because of the All-Star game.
Huh, interesting.
And I think it will finish, I'll say 2-1 to Columbus.
All right. Morgan.
Hi, Matt. What's going on?
Hi.
Oh, predictions. I took a weird route this week since I've been so right about every game. I just wanted to kind of, like, give you guys a chance. So I threw out the prediction to longtime listener Aaron Schiebel on Twitter, and she told me 1-1 Columbus Orlando Lions draw. Back to you, Matt.
Sam, give me your prediction.
I don't think it proved otherwise. I'm going to say we're going to lose this game.
Sam thinks we're going to lose this game 2-1. Sam is a horrible person, and I dislike him. I'm going to say 3-2 to Columbus. I think it's going to be a weird game, but, you know, whatever.
How many red cards, Matt?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven red cards.
Seems about right.
All to Orlando. We're going to go ahead and, you know, sorry, hang on. Back that off real quick.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
We've just received congratulations for signing Esteban Cambiaso by someone named Francois. So this is official. This is as official as
totally
it can get.
Official,
can
yeah.
confirm that it has happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is
Swaggy Bird.
Random,
thanks for breaking it. What's his name?
Random people on Twitter.
These are your dreams be dreams.
These are all fake accounts from Justin. He's actually got
Justin is just doing this.
This is Francois from Montreal. Montreal.
This
is real.
This not
is
Quebec.
Real. MLS right. Calcio 2015.
Just hit this thing, Sam. Come on. I'm done with dealing with this. For everybody on the show tonight, for fake Greg Benson, for both of our guests, for Morgan, Alex, Justin, my good buddy Sam, hits the buttons, makes us go good. My name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. Brought to you by Land Grab Brewing. We're at Hen Docks. Some people never go crazy. What truly horrible lives they must live.
Orlando's not a knife. Columbus is a knife.